Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you today?
Doing good. How was your long weekend?
It was pretty good. I had to work.
So oh,
I
didn't get the, well, yeah, not very good then.
Didn't get the fun. The kids were off. You know, that's always good for them. But so we were off yesterday. Back on today. I got a few things to talk about. It's actually been just kind of a dead period right now, which is a little bit rare for the NFL. But we'll talk through some mock drafts and then kind of an Antonio Brown update. Before we do that, remind you, we write for MutinyMiracles.com. We cover the Titans for SB Nation, so you can check us out there. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry is at TLambertRTT. We have a voicemail line that you can call in and leave a comment or a question. We don't have any of those so far this week, so hopefully on Thursday we can do a voicemail show, but we need to get some voicemails in order to do that. 615-787-8762. Call in there, leave a message, and we'll talk about it on Thursday. All right, so it's mock draft season, that's something that you hear Titans fans talk a lot about, is about the nobody pays attention to the Titans nationally. And a lot of times it's about respect. I mean, if you remember back in this season, after the Titans beat the Eagles, they went a few of the guys, Taylor Lewan included, went off on this rant about getting national attention, national respect, and all that kind of stuff. I don't really necessarily care about that or buy into that. You win games eventually over a long period of time. You know, have sustained success, then you'll get attention, you'll get respect, that type of stuff. Titans haven't done that. It's been a long time since they've been consistently good. I mean, just take into account the fact that, 9-7, 3 years in a row, first time since they moved here that they've had three winning seasons in a row. So, I mean, that kind of tells you what you need to know. What annoys me, though, is this time of year when we're looking around at mock drafts around the internet from outlets like ESPN, like CBS, people that are, obviously really big in on the NFL, should be kind of plugged into what's going on. And then you see a mock draft and you see a pick that doesn't make any sense. But not only that, then you see a commentary on that pick that doesn't make any sense. And that's the thing that's frustrating to me. And again, it doesn't, mock drafts don't mean anything. I get that. They don't matter. But to me, it's just stupid that you've got some guy that's getting paid by a national media outlet and he can't take a few minutes and look at a team, look at what they need, make a pick based on that instead of just, I don't know what they do. We're talking about the guy specifically right now on CBS that picked a corner for the Titans. And basically, his reason was because they can save $10 million against the cap by cutting Logan Ryan. I mean, that's true, but the Titans are not cutting Logan Ryan. That's a stupid comment, and I just don't understand why you can't do enough research to figure out how dumb that is.
If you look at this roster and you come away and your number one take is the Titans' top need is a cornerback, and I don't know what to tell you. We've seen some picks with some inside linebackers, which is literally the strongest part of this roster. I have no idea what these guys are looking at. Especially when you get the entire fan base coming at you on Twitter or something, telling you, hey, this is why you're wrong. You know, the Titans have a ton of investments in the cornerback spot. They've paid whatever they pay Logan Ryan. They pay Malcolm Butler a ton of money. First-round pick on Adoree Jackson. They're not drafting a corner. You can't put another first-round pick into that position. So when you see the entire fan base come at you and you still defend your position, and I hate to see that. It just tells me you're not very self-aware. You just like to see them make some sort of effort. I mean, I did mock drafts for MCM a couple of years ago. Did one every couple of weeks. They're not easy to do, and there's a lot of information that you have to research and sit there and study. But I kept my notes, and I'd have team needs for each and every team. And I did my homework, and it just seems like guys that write for legitimate huge sites like CBS just aren't doing their homework this draft season. And we see it every year with the Titans, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It seems like at the beginning of the, quote, draft season, or even as the season is wrapping up, you could start, if you knew that you were, running for national outlet and you were going to have to do a weekly mock draft or whatever it might be, you could sit down with a list of all 32 teams and just list their needs. And then, obviously, as things change, whether they re-sign somebody or they sign somebody or, whatever, they cut somebody, whatever it may be, that, you know, you can adjust based on that. But it seems like you could have a pretty good, you know, like master list of needs and really just go based off of that. I mean, I don't think, again, you're going to be wrong and you're going to be ridiculous in where you pick a guy versus where he actually goes in the draft, or there's going to be a guy that, you know, doesn't go in the first round of mocks and goes in the first round of the draft. I mean, all that stuff is understandable because that, you know, that's just how it works. But it seems like some of this stuff is just, it's so far off that it's just ridiculous. And again, something as simple as what does a team need seems like it should be a little bit easier to figure out. All right, so that was that one. Mel Kiper did his second, I think, mock draft yesterday. He had the Titans taking Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle from Clemson. So, I mean, again, you know, that's actually a sensible pick there, a place they could need. Charlie Casserly did a mock today, has the Titans taking Dexter Lawrence from Clemson, also defensive tackle from Clemson. You know, I think between those two guys, just give me the guy that gets after the quarterback better. I think we've spent enough time trying to find a guy that can kind of plug the middle. And so, I mean, I think Christian Wilkins is probably the better pass rusher. So I would much rather them go with him over Lawrence, just because, again, they need a guy up front that can at least cause some disruption in the passing game to go along with Jarrell Casey. So I'm fine with them using that first pick. I mean, depending on what happens in free agency and all that kind of stuff, I'm fine with them using that pick on a defensive lineman, but it needs to be a guy that can give them something from a pass rush perspective.
100% agree. You know, if you're not going to address the edge situation in the first round, give me a guy that can get some interior pressure. That seems to be the way that the NFL is kind of going anyway. They're kind of looking for those guys. You know, the Aaron Donald types that can really knife through the interior and get in the quarterback's face, cause that immediate pressure. So I'm with you there. I'm for anything, pretty much anything on the front line there, whether it be an edge, whether it be a defensive tackle. Titans have to get more pressure. Titans have to get more pressure without scheming up the pressure from DPs. So I thought Dean had to really scheme it up, call some blitzes up the middle to even think about getting pressure last year. You know, we'll see how Harold Landry develops. He's going to have to take a big step this year. But Titans have to add another edge piece. I think they have to add another piece up front. Like you said, what's on the roster right now, Austin Johnson, Daquan Jones, they're just kind of there. I don't know what they give you at this point. I don't know how good against the run they are. They certainly can't get after the passer. So the Titans have to get younger there. They've got to get more athletic, or else they're going to waste Jarrell Casey's entire career.
Yeah, and that's, you know, then they're getting into the back end of that window. So they definitely need to give him some help up there. All right, and then one more draft note. Marquise Brown, the speedy wide receiver from Oklahoma, it was announced, I think, yesterday on Monday that he is going to have surgery, or he already underwent surgery on his foot for a Lisfranc injury, which I think is the same thing that Jake Locker had one of the years that he was here. And you wrote it up for You'd See Miracles that, you know, the concern there is obviously, you know, he's a guy that his best trait is his speed. And so if he's going to be even, you know, a half a tick slower because of this, that would cause you some concern there. And we know that's a long injury. Because I remember when it happened to Locker, you know, it was like he broke his foot, and you think a broken foot like 6 to 8 weeks, and then, you know, the Lisfranc was like 4 to 6 months or something like that. So, you know, a little bit of a concern there. It'll be interesting to see what it does to him. I would imagine this knocks him down to at least the back half of the first round, maybe even day two, because I just don't think teams are going to be able to have any assurance of how he's going to come back from this by the time it's time for the draft.
Yeah, I think when you compare, or, you know, you put this on top of his lack of size, you know, he's 5'10", 170 pounds. He's drawn the DeSean Jackson comps. It's just a little scary because you just don't see receivers that light, that short, really have a ton of success in the league, you know, maybe outside of DeSean Jackson. So it sucks for him. He was going to be one of the fastest guys at the combine. He was in that 4.3 range, could perhaps put down a 4.2. So the combine loses some of that excitement from the receiver group. But yeah, and I think it's knocked him down to the at least the back half. You know, medical checks are going to be huge for him. He's still going to be at the combine. But instead of performing on the field, he's going to be going through medical checks. Teams are going to be checking out that foot to see what's going on there. You know, it kind of reminds you of the Corey Davis situation with the Titans. Corey didn't participate in anything in the pro day or the combine or anything like that. But he went through those medical checks late in draft season. I think he visited the team really, really close to the draft. So those late medical checks will be huge. We'll see if he can do anything physically. But, yeah, I mean, you saw Corey Davis miss training camp. I think that's really kind of hamstrung his career to this point. You just saw him find his footing in the league last year. It's definitely a sucky situation for Brown, who, you know, is in danger of missing training camp, rookie camp, all of that. So he'll be behind the eight ball to start his NFL career. So, like you said, I think that could push him all the way down to day two.
Yeah, and you said, I mean, and somebody in the comments on the post you wrote yesterday was trying to compare this to Davis. And, I mean, I think, you know, a few things. Number one, Davis has more attributes you can rely on than just the elite speed. Two, you know, ankle cleanup surgery that Corey Davis had is less concerning, I think, from a long-term perspective than this Lisfranc injury is. But, like you said, when you have a guy that misses that much time, it's not uncommon to get into, you know, whether it be OTAs, which, I mean, I think Brown's going to miss those too. But you get in a training camp when you've been off for so long with any kind of leg or foot injury, then you have soft tissue injuries that come along with that. So I think that is would be a bit of a concern. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him slide into day two. And then somebody might get a really good pick, you know, in day two, a guy that was supposed to go, you know, at least in the first round. Some people had him going in the top half of the first round. You know, if you've got a guy that's going to be able to fully recover from this, then you're obviously getting good value in the second or third round there. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. All right, coming up, we'll talk a little bit about the Antonio Brown situation, kind of some interesting developments that have happened there. All right, so two more things to talk about. One, Antonio Brown. Apparently he met with the entire Steelers organization yesterday. It sounded like the meeting started out with him and the owner, and then the GM came in, and then Rosenhaus, who is Antonio Brown's agent, came in. And basically, it sounds like they went through this process, and then all parties agreed that it was the best thing for them, for Antonio Brown to be traded. This has been one of the most interesting sagas to follow because, you know, normally if you're a team and you've got a star that you want to trade, even if you want to trade them because of the issues they're causing in the locker room or whatever it may be, you try to keep all that stuff in-house so that it doesn't, you know, just tank their trade value. With all the stuff that's out there about Antonio Brown, all the different issues that they've had, this meeting, all the stuff that he's doing on social media and that kind of stuff, it seems to me like, you know, where people were talking about the Steelers could get a one, maybe two ones for him, it seems to me like they're going to have trouble getting anything earlier than a second or third round pick for him at this point, just because it is blatantly obvious that this is a marriage that's over. So the Steelers are going to do whatever it takes to not have him on their roster next year, and that just kills their negotiating power when it comes to talking to other teams and trying to trade him.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a backward situation there with Antonio basically saying, hey, I met with my owner, and we've basically decided to move on, but he's still under contract. So, you know he's going to be traded. So teams probably aren't going to give up a first round pick anymore. You know, he's aging too. I think he's what, 32, going to be 32, still owed a lot of money. So I, like you said, it's gone from maybe a first and a second, first and a third to maybe a second round pick, maybe a third round pick, maybe a fourth. I mean, are teams really going to bend over backwards to add that to their team? I don't know. I think it's going to take a strong locker room, because he's going to come in and immediately be the voice that stands out in that locker room. He's going to immediately become the face of any franchise. Just his presence, his drama, his baggage that he brings, his social media presence. You know, anything he tweets nowadays is just getting blown up. So it's a messy, messy split up. You know, he's taking shots at Ben Roethlisberger now. I just didn't see this coming. You know, 6 months ago in the season, just seemed like he was a Steeler for life. And then, you know, this offseason, it's all just falling apart. So I'm not sure who's going to take the jump on that. Again, I think it's going to be some desperate team. I don't think any really good franchise is going to take that on.
Yeah, and I mean, you said it earlier, like, you got to have a strong locker room. The only way that they're going to get anything that approaches what's probably value for him is if you have, you know, a couple teams bidding against each other. But the problem here is that the potential of teams that will want him or even could, you know, acquire him is small because, one, like you said, locker room. Two, he's got a $22 million cap number in 2019. So, and that doesn't go away with a trade. So you've got to have that cap room. You've got to have the type of locker room that can you know, that can handle that. You know, quarterback that they can kind of put him in his place, that kind of stuff. I mean, I know a lot of people have been speculating that the Patriots would get in on this because that's something that, you know, they tend to do is take on these guys that have had issues, whether it be in the locker room like Randy Moss when they took him on, or you know, Josh Gordon this year with all the issues that he had had last year. But I mean, they've only got $15 million in cap space as it stands right now. I mean, so there's some, you know, adjustments they could make and do some different things and free up some money. So I mean, I guess that's not, you know, entirely impossible to happen. I'd be kind of surprised if it did. I know San Francisco was a team early on that was mentioned that would be wanting him, but I don't know. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, does he have enough skins on the wall, so to speak, to be able to be the strength in that locker room? They can keep him in check. I mean, other guys too. It just seems like that. I don't know. That doesn't seem like a great fit to me from a culture perspective.
No, same here. And I'm just thinking, you know, the odds of him coming here are slim to none, I believe. But how would he fit in this locker room? You know, I don't think Marcus Mariota would be the guy to kind of keep him in check. You know, I think maybe the guys on the offensive line might be the guys to keep him in check. But I've gone from, like, being, you know, well maybe I want Antonio Brown to just being totally out. I just don't think that's a guy that you add to this locker room, which, you know, was in such a bad place just 3 years ago. I think he's in a really good place. I think they've got their own types of guys that they want on this team, and I think Antonio Brown is the furthest type of guy that would fit in with this team. I just don't think it would work here. You know, not anybody's saying that, but I just want to kind of come out and say that I'm totally against it.
Yeah, no, it makes zero sense here, really, from a lot of different perspectives, like you just kind of laid out. The other thing of news, that it was announced yesterday, the Cowboys wouldn't pick up Terrence Williams' option, so he will become an unrestricted free agent when free agency opens here in a little bit. You know, he's a guy that's kind of interesting. I don't think he's going to be a wave one or two guy of free agency. You know, it's been a couple of years since he had a good year. Was hurt last year. Also had a public intoxication incident, I think, last summer that he was suspended for, but he served his suspension while he was hurt. So he doesn't have that, you know, hanging over his head or anything. But he's a guy that's got some speed to get down the field, a guy that you shouldn't have to invest a bunch of money in. I mean, he seems to me like a, you know, 1 or 2 year type deal, maybe a, you know, bet on yourself 1 year type contract. Not sure that he would want to come here or whatever, but I think, you know, if the Titans miss out on some of these top tier guys, or even if they sign one of those guys, if you could get Terrence Williams in here on a contract that, you know, is basically a win-win for the Titans, whereas if he does well, it's not costing you that much. If he doesn't do well, you cut him and move on. I don't think it's the worst option. I mean, he wouldn't be a guy that I would go into, you know, as planning, we're going to come out of free agency with this guy. But like I said, if you're in wave three, he's better than Michael Campanaro last year, right?
Yeah, I hope we're not talking about Terrence Williams next month. If John Robinson is relying anything on Terrence Williams, then he's screwed up as a general manager. I just think it's time. It's time to go open up your wallet. It's time to go pay some of these guys, like you said, overpay. Maybe a guy from tier one, a guy from tier two. Terrence Williams to me is a tier three, tier four type guy. Yes, he's got speed. I don't think he's got anything else. You know, honestly, he's been in Dallas forever. He hadn't done much. I just don't think a lot of him as a player. Is he better than Taywan Taylor or Tajae Sharpe? I mean, that's a legitimate question that I don't know the answer to. So if I'm signing a receiver, he better be better than those two. He better be able to make a contribution. I'm just tired of throwing trash around Marcus Mariota. Get him some guys that have succeeded in the past, that don't have question marks around them. It's going to take some money to get there, but it's beyond time to get there.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, my plan is Tyrell Williams and Golden Tate. You know, they're not signing both of those guys probably, but I think either one of those guys, and then you know, John Brown, Adam Humphrey, Cole Beasley type guy after that. But anyway, so I mean, it's just a name that popped up yesterday, and like I said, he'll get a job, and I don't think it's a contract that's going to cost you a lot. So anyway, just something worth mentioning. All right, so that'll do it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow. Like I said, if you've got any comments, you can reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Jay Morris MCM. Terry's at T Lambert RTT. So you can find us there. You can also leave us a voicemail, 615-787-8762. It was about a minute-long voicemail, and we will play it on the show Thursday, assuming we get two or three. So thanks for listening to Locked On Titans. For Terry, this is Jimmy, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.